Psalm number 116 is our opening praise, and the opening verses 1 to 8 in Psalm Let us read now in the second letter of John, second epistle of John, and reading through the whole of this second letter of John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that ye walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. And now we shall pray. Eternal God, our heavenly Father, we come to pray because we are encouraged to do so and commanded to do so, and given the Holy Spirit of prayer in order that we may be enabled to do so. And we find in the Gospels our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. And we find in the Old Testament economy in Israel from the very beginning that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And we find that Abraham prayed, and Moses prayed, and the prophets prayed, and the people of God collectively on occasions prayed. And all down the long history, we find that there is this activity of prayer. Men, women, sometimes boys and girls even, as Samuel of old, calling upon the name of the Lord. And so as we come to do this great thing, we are simply standing in the company of those who have gone before. And we pray that we would pray in faith, believing that God hears and answers, and that what we pray for we receive from him according to his promise. We recognize, Heavenly Father, that so often we pray for things that God withholds, because we pray not according to his will. We pray sometimes for our will and our comfort, and we are almost at times commanding God to do for us things that he has never promised to do or to give. And so we pray always for mercy, always for wisdom, always for more and more of the Holy Spirit, always for the preachers and the preaching of the gospel, always for our rulers over us, always for the world around us, always for our neighbors, always for God's cause in the world we pray, always and on every occasion coming to seek and confess our sin and find mercy, and always listening unto Jesus Christ as he prayed for his people, and always looking unto Jesus, and on those occasions when he prayed, the big occasions of his life, the big decisive moments, the moments of crisis, as it were, the moments of decision, the moments for increased fervency and frequency in his prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. And all along the line, we find him, as it were, calling upon God's name, depending upon God's grace, and always seeking further to do God's will. And we pray that we would be engaged in this evening as we gather here yet again. We rejoice that there are those times and places where prayer is wont to be made, that there are those who will gather with those who gather to pray, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles with Lydia and the other women in the prayer meeting down by the river outside Philippi, and how the apostle met with them and preached to them, and a congregation was formed in that place. And so we do pray. We pray, Lord, the prayer of the psalmist, wilt thou not revive us again, O God, that thy people may rejoice in thee. We pray for a deepening of repentance. We pray for a nation that has lost its way, a nation of Australia that is acting increasingly foolishly and obviously being led astray by godless men and women who have forsaken the right way for themselves and who are determined to lead the land astray. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the Christian church in this land to be brought back to its senses, to repentance, and to this end that you would raise up a whole generation of preachers whose hearts are set ablaze with the gospel, men who have been properly trained, men who have been thoroughly acquainted with Christ as the apostles were, men who have been with Jesus, who have been followers with him, who have been witnesses of him and are now witnesses for him. And this is our prayer, always the same prayer, the great need of the day. Do not forsake us, O God. Do not allow us to act foolishly and to turn increasingly to foolishness. Do not leave us alone to our own unwise devices and our poor understanding of things, our poor understanding even of the scriptures, and our poor understanding of what to preach about and how to preach about it. So we give thanks, Heavenly Father, that the Bible is full of prayer and that the great issue is to pray without ceasing and on every occasion according to the needs as they may be, with increasing frequency and increasing fervency, always to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And this is our prayer in this evening hour of worship. O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read in the first letter of John, in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, and from the beginning of the chapter. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. And we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And we'll leave the reading there for this evening. Well, we remind you, of course, of the intimations, the midweek meeting at 7 o'clock, next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m., 6 p.m., Deacon's Court and Kirk's Session on Tuesday, and a welcome always to any visitors, and the offering now to be received. Psalm 116, from verse number 9 to the end of the psalm.